Marijuana has now been legal to buy in New Jersey for, well, just about over a year and a half. Now, back in those early days, yeah, way back then, the vision was for opportunity for people looking to start a business, as well as people in New Jersey seeking the same access to something that was readily available in other states where marijuana was made legal. Then the reality of New Jersey state government reared its head. Approval processes were long, product was costly, availability due to quite a few towns denying shops to open, that was limited. While homegrown marijuana has long been seen by many as a remedy to this situation, that idea, too, has been met with a combination of delays and resistance. With us now to examine all this is a professor of cannabis studies at Stockton University in their Cannabis and Hemp Research Initiative. He's president of our community harvest, author whose books include the Essential Cannabis Book, Professor Robert Mejia. How are you today, Professor?
I am doing very well. Thank you for taking the time to talk about this very important issue.
And I was saying to the professor before we got started, too, a lot of people get confused because of a lack of information. That is one of the reasons why the work at Stockton University and their Cannabis Hemp Research Initiative is what it is. Stockton.edu, ourcommunityharvest.com. We have those websites at our homepage as well as a direct link to the Cannabis Hemp and Research Initiative. So it was just this past week, I believe, Professor, that Governor Phil Murphy said the following in response to a question about home cultivation of marijuana, saying, "I'm very much open-minded to this. I would bet, if I were a betting man, that down the road, that's exactly where this would land." I understand, having said that, why it wasn't in our initial regs, because I think that's a rightful objective to get this industry up on its feet and make sure that the folks who are in this as a matter of commerce and are successful, and again, with a huge amount of focus on equity. That's a word salad, I guess, is the popular term in the here and now, because within that comment, there's very little detail, isn't there?
There definitely is very little detail, although it is encouraging to say that at least he's open-minded about it. He has not really been an obstacle. It's been more Senator Scutari, who also has been the big one of the biggest champions of setting up a legalized and regulated cannabis market. But I know even early on at one of the very first meet and greets in New Jersey about cannabis, he was one of the speakers. And someone asked him about home grow back then, and he said, "I'm worried about the excess." And, of course, right away I thought, well, that is clearly someone who's never grown cannabis, because you have to be an amazing grower in order to grow anything that anyone would consider an excess. But he was worried that people would grow in their homes and then essentially just sell their products out on the streets, thereby encouraging more illegal behavior. But what we've seen in other states, that's simply not true. What happens is that medical patients especially need to grow particular strains because things work well for them and they figure that out. And oftentimes dispensaries may not carry exactly what they need. Plus, that is only a very small part of their medicine. They will still be buying from the dispensaries, and I would argue that people who home grow are probably going to be some of your very best customers.
I would imagine, unless I missed something in my research, isn't New Jersey the only state where marijuana is legal for commercial sales? It's the only state that does not allow growing at home?
That is totally correct. So there are 24 states right now, Ohio becoming the most recent, that legalize what is called adult use, or some people call it recreational use. And then there's 38 that have a medical cannabis program. Of the 24 that allow for adult use, yes, New Jersey is the only one that does not allow for any kind of home cultivation. Delaware was a little slow to get on board, but they're on board now too. So yes, we do stand alone.
And you mentioned too the legislative side of this equation, but couldn't it just be resolved with a simple order from the state attorney general, Mr. Plotkin, just saying to the local counties, hands off, just disavow any law that you have on your books regarding home growing of marijuana? Or maybe if you want to make a happy compromise, put limitations on what could be grown at home.
That could be one of the possibilities, and that could be a very quick, immediate step where essentially it would be decriminalized in order for anyone to cultivate a plant. Because we also, not only is it not allowed here in New Jersey, but the penalties that you can get for a small number of plants is really outrageous. You can actually be fined $25,000, and you can face prison time of up to a year for growing just a couple plants.
And for you listening, if you're asking, well, how can you limit something someone is doing in their home? Well, you have to buy the seed and the necessary materials to do the home growing. So that's where you put the limits.
Yes, you could definitely do that. Plus, I would argue that that also gives a good niche for another business. So you could allow either the cultivators that already have a license or the dispensaries that have a license to acquire the material so somebody could grow and even do home grow clinics. And especially for people who might be growing for the first time, who have a particular strain they need to grow, they can get some good tips from master growers and people in dispensaries, and that also gives another class of business. Or you could make it a whole separate license like New York does. So New York essentially has what I would call like a greenhouse license. So that means they can sell seeds. They can sell clones. Clones are the small plants that you've taken from the bigger plants that are already growing and they're hardy, and so their chance for success is going to be pretty it will happen. They'll grow vibrantly. But at any rate, that could be a whole other business. So people who are used to the greenhouse model could also basically just be selling the soil, the fertilizer, having clinics on how to sell the seeds, the clones, and that could be yet another business opportunity here in New Jersey.
Talking with Professor Robert Mejia, who is a professor of cannabis studies at Stockton University in the Cannabis and Hemp Research Initiative. He's also president of our Community Harvest, author. His books include The Essential Cannabis Book, Stockton.edu, or CommunityHarvest.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You talked about medical marijuana, which is part of the equation, too. And again, it varies from case to case, but there are some people I was reading up on. It costs them hundreds of dollars, if not per day, at least per week, for the marijuana they need. And as you said, too, they would be limited to how much they could grow. But if you could pare that weekly cost down by 30, 40, 50% in these days and times, that would be a great help to someone in medical need.
It absolutely would. The other strange thing about cannabis, at least in my opinion, is that it's not covered by medical insurance. And so even though it is considered medicine, and even though there are doctors, physicians who do recommend cannabis to their patients, that all comes out of pocket. So none of that gets reimbursed as compared to something like opioids or other medicine or other prescriptions that do often get covered. And I do know some, especially senior citizens, who have started with cannabis, but it just became too expensive for them. So it was easier for them to continue getting traditional pharma delivered to their door and having a very small copay that they have to do. So, yes, the money does come out of pocket. And for some people who really need pain relief every day, and given that our cannabis here in New Jersey is roughly $400, $500 an ounce, that you can spend, a medical patient can spend about $10,000 per year on cannabis. And yes, that is a figure that is frightening, and it would help for people to be able to home grow.
I usually say this at the beginning as far as the recreational aspect of marijuana, just as a thought for you listening. If you are a person who walks into a liquor store to buy a bottle of wine, bottle of bourbon, scotch, whatever your choice and preference happens to be, you at the very least have to have an open mind regarding legalized marijuana and recreational use. I just want to lay that out there if you want to be fair and consistent. But having said that, talk about the studies, because as I said in the introduction, you're a professor of cannabis studies at Stockton University. Now, I mean, we can make the sarcastic comments and try to make jokes about this, but this is a serious industry with a lot of opportunities in it for people.
It definitely is. You can look at it from so many different perspectives. You can look at it from the health perspectives, and there have been thousands of studies that do show that cannabis is effective for quite a number of conditions. And then you also have the business side of it. So last year, our regulated businesses pulled in $555 million worth of business. That's something that you just cannot ignore. And this year, we're on pace to do $1 billion. The other interesting thing is, even though people usually think of the cannabis industry and they think of the big cultivation operations, they think of processing labs where you can also make edibles and concentrates and vape pens, they think of dispensaries or the retail operations. One very interesting thing is that all of those businesses and any cannabis business need what are called support or ancillary services. And that's things like web design, it could be photography, it could be social media, could be installation of lights and security equipment, could be pavers, construction people, et cetera. So actually the number of jobs that support the cannabis industry actually outpace those that are in the industry. And in 1 year, we went from about 3,000 full-time cannabis jobs. We're up to about 7,000 right now. And then again, there are actually more jobs that support those 7,000.
You would think, too, with that much money on the cusp of possibility for the state to realize, of course, taxes from the revenue from licensing fees from, they would get out of the way to the degree that they've been in the way. I saw one story, a gentleman down in Camden wanted to open a drive-through dispensary. And with the amount of time it took to get everything approved up and running, he started off $1 million in the hole.
Yes, I actually know that operator. I've talked to him a couple times and have heard the stories about all the different delays. But yes, cannabis is treated so differently from other businesses, and a lot of us would argue that it is overregulated, so that slows down a lot of what the possibilities could be. And the other huge thing is that we have given our townships the opportunity to opt out. And about 70% have opted out, even though nearly every single municipality in New Jersey voted in favor of cannabis legalization. But it is a case of, okay, we voted it in, but I don't necessarily want it in my town.
As far as the work of the Cannabis and Hemp Research Initiative at Stockton, what's the goal, and what's the image and the information you want people to have resonate with people?
Sure. We really have three major goals with our Cannabis and Hemp Research Initiative. One is to provide hemp and cannabis education to the community. And towards that end, we do things like we have quarterly hemp and cannabis free webinars. As a matter of fact, we have one coming up a week from today that goes from noon to 12:45. And we will be looking at the New Jersey hemp industry. A lot of people forget that hemp is actually a form of cannabis, just grown for a different purpose. And it is then turned into CBD, or you can turn it into industrial fiber, and that can make thousands and thousands of products. But we don't really have a ton of growers in New Jersey, in part because our land is pretty expensive. So at any rate, we do provide quarterly education panels. Again, the one in December is on hemp. We'll have one in the spring on hospitality and tourism, which is something I think a lot of people don't realize that there is also multi-million-dollar opportunities there, especially in places like Atlantic City. And then the other thing we do is we've had career fairs in the past. We are also looking to set up a standalone lab so we can do more testing and research. And the other thing is we grow hemp on our farm in Stockton. We grew it for the second year this year. We give students an opportunity to learn how to grow. And I've even had a few people from the community that have visited the farm to see what we're doing there. And the last thing is that we do connect with nonprofits that work with the post-prison population, because we would like to give them resources and education if they do want to get into the hemp and or cannabis industry. So it's education, building a standalone lab, and working with nonprofits in the post-prison population are the three main goals of the Cannabis and Hemp Research Initiative at Stockton.
So if you're listening and you are looking for an avenue of opportunity for a career, or a job, or whatever the case may be, this might be something you want to explore through the programs presented by Stockton University. Learn more at Stockton.edu about their Cannabis and Hemp Research Initiative and the various cannabis studies that they offer in their curriculum. Learn more about our Community Harvest, which Professor Mejia is the president of, ourcommunityharvest.com. Professor Rob Mejia, information is always the empowerment. It's always the way to the truth. And the work that you guys are doing at the initiative at Stockton University is helping people gain the understanding to be at least fair and open-minded about the situation. You don't have to agree. If you want to disagree, that's fine, but you shouldn't be limiting, and certainly the people down in the State House need to be doing a lot more listening than they're doing as well. Thanks for helping them hear the truth and the facts. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for your time. I fully agree with you, and my position there is that I like to inform, not persuade.